the Municipal Officers Electoral Board for the United City of Yorkville. Present is John Purcell as chairperson and mayor of the city. Also present are most senior alderman Chris Funkhauser and our city clerk Jory Beeland. We're here today because of an objection to the nomination papers of Lowell Hyatt as a candidate for the alderperson of Ward 4, which has been filed by Sammy Hall. So with that, I will turn it over to you, Mr. Chairperson, and ask possibly that our objector explain his objection to the petitions of Lowell Hyatt.
Prior to that, again, we need to adopt rules of procedure, same rules as our prior one. So for the record, motion to approve the rules.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know you do.
And there's no discussion on the consent agenda either. Just saying.
All right, so.
Proceed, both of you.
Mr. Hall would proceed with itemizing his
objection. Okay, Mr. Hall, you go first, I'm told.
Okay. I'll give a few points and I'll cite the Illinois election law as well as case law and precedent. Number one, failure to accurately identify the office being sought. Nomination papers submitted by the candidate incorrectly list the office being sought as alderman of the fourth ward. The election code 10 ILCS 5/10-4, which is listed there, explicitly requires that nomination petitions include a uniform and accurate heading identifying the office being sought. Alderman is not the legally recognized office title for this election. Is the correct and inclusive title as alderperson. This fundamental defect misrepresents the office and undermines the integrity of the position. And the case law is Wisner versus Brennan. The issue is the candidate's nomination papers misidentified the office being sought. An excerpt is the failure to accurately name the office being sought is a fatal defect that invalidates nomination petitions. The relevance here, this case underscores the necessity correctly identifying the office and nomination papers, misnaming the office, as in my opponent's use of alderman, instead of alderperson, is a significant error that can invalidate the petition. Also, misleading representation to petition signers. By failing to accurately identify the office title, the candidate's petition misleads potential signers. If a signer sought to research the office of alderman, they would find no such position on official documents or election materials, as you can see attached from the 2025 candidate's guide, where there's no mention of the word alderman anywhere. This misrepresentation deprives signers of their ability to make an informed decision, thereby invalidating the petition, as well as English second language people. Spanish in particular is a very gendered language, so when they would research that, or if they're new to English and see alderman, they might think that that is simply a job for a man and not make an informed decision or not get a part of our great constitutional republic that we enjoy. Also, that invalidates the economic interest form because alderman is listed as the office, which is not the correct legal term. The use of the outdated term alderman contradicts the intentional name change to alderperson, which reflects Yorkville's community or commitment to inclusivity and equity. This error could discourage individuals who do not identify as male from aspiring to participate in the electoral process, contrary to the purpose of the title change. The candidate's failure to properly identify the office in the petition renders the signatures collected invalid. The omission of an accurate title prevents signers from legally supporting the candidate for a recognized office, thereby invalidating the entire nomination petition. A violation of the election code, Tully versus Edgar confirms the necessity of adhering to statutory requirements to ensure electoral fairness. And the excerpt, ensuring that procedural and statutory requirements in elections are met is essential to maintain the integrity and fairness of the process. The relevance, this case emphasizes the critical importance of following all procedural and statutory requirements to uphold the integrity of the electoral process. The Mr. Hyatt's objection to my petition should be dismissed because he was never a validated candidate for this office. His entire nomination petition is invalid due to the improper naming of the office. we disagree on the inflated voter count from 2023, but that's the only publicly available data that I have access to, and reliance on the wrong election year, which we've already talked about. Without standing as a valid candidate, he has no legal basis to challenge another candidate's position. The relief I seek is immediately invalidate the nomination papers of Lowell Hyatt in the entirety for failing to comply with the Illinois Election Code and misleading potential petition signers. Dismiss any objection filed by Lowell Hyatt against the objector's nomination papers on the grounds that the candidate is not a valid candidate for the office of alderperson and therefore lacks standing to object. The objector prays that the perpetrated nomination papers of Lowell Hyatt for the election to the office of alderperson, Ward 4, City of Yorkville, in the state of Illinois, be declared by this honorable electoral board to be insufficient and not in compliance with the laws of the state of Illinois, and that the candidate's name be stricken, and that this honorable electoral board enter its decision declaring that the name of Lowell Hyatt be for election to the office of alderperson of the city of Yorkville and the state of Illinois not be printed on the official ballot for the consolidated election to be held on April 1st, 2025. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else, Jim?
Yeah. So I went on the Yorkville website for the election packet, and everything on there says alderman. It's highlighted in yellow if you guys want a copy.
If you have one,
this
be great.
Is actually off the Yorkville website. And alderperson is never mentioned once. Mr. Funkhauser's nameplate says alderman, so I figured that the first time doing this, I would follow the procedure that was on the Yorkville, United City of Yorkville website for the election process. Pretty much followed what was on there, and that's pretty much all I got. There's no mention of alderperson on the website.
Thank you. Anyone else?
So, yes. The cases cited by Mr. Hall are not, the outcome isn't exactly as it happened. The case that was cited was the candidacy to fill a vacancy of John Elsner as a judge. And the argument was—
Which case are you referencing?
On case, the first one, Wisner versus
Brennan.
Thank you.
My eyes are still
dilated. No, but they're dilated from me. They're all dilated. Well,
I thought you were going to say memory is not 2020.
Yeah. Anyway, so the issue there in that case is you may not use the office, different names for running for the office that would confuse the average voter. And I think we agree on that proposition. And if the the case of Wisner decided that the difference in running for the office of John T. Elsner for the circuit court or circuit court vacancy of John T. D. Elsner was not sufficiently confusing to the voter, and in fact determined that the objection was denied because of the fact that it was similar enough to allow the average voter to understand for whom they were voting. In the case at hand, to—
Let me back up. So the Wisner versus Brennan, you're saying the objection was not upheld?
Correct. Candidates sufficiently described the office, because there was only one office to be filled by the vacancy of John T. Elsner in the 18th Judicial Circuit. Therefore, there is no basis for confusion. The point of the case is, if you have different names on your petition so that the voter would be confused. Mr. Hall's position is, because he used the term alderman, which is traditionally the name utilized for running for members of the city council, and didn't use alderperson, that would be confusing to the average voter.
That's why I run for mayor.
You got it.
It's not mayor.
No confusing. It's mayor and mayor and mayor. Second case, okay, that Corbin versus Schroeder.
May I ask to just respond to something on that Wisner versus Brennan, please? I found in my research on that case, it was specific to that they ruled that he wrote like 22nd Circuit Judge. Like, I read that differently. Like, I read that
they didn't sustain the objection. They didn't sustain the objection because it wasn't sufficiently confusing.
I
have the whole case. I pulled the case and read the whole case. The next case that you cited, Corbin versus Schroeder, that case I have here, and that stood for the inability to rely on oral information, the inability to rely on anything oral with regard to the number of signatures. The next case of Pills versus McHenry County Board is there again, substantially complied that with the requirements of the election code and affirmed the court's judgment. And in this case, the nomination, again, it was determined that the titles on the petitions were sufficiently close enough so that it's not the voters, actually, it's the person signing the petition that must not be confused as the candidate for whom they're signing. So for Mr. Hall's position is because the petition said that the office they were running for was alderman of Ward 4, that would be confusing to, the only way it would be sustained is if it would be confusing to the signator on the petition.
In a sense, but I'm saying it's illegal because this, again, says right here, and it was cited as the reason for writing alderman, it says that it's not legal information and it's not binding. When you look at the 2025 Candidate's Guide, the name of the office should be named properly, which is called alderperson. Otherwise, that's what I maintain. That I have examples of that saying, proving my point that the name of the office is not alderman anymore. Even though it was, and people kind of get it, I don't get that same courtesy. I don't see why, you know, this is any different. We should try just as hard to prove my point.
Kathy, continue.
The last case, which is Tully versus, which one was that? Tully, I have it, that was cited.
Was Edgar. Tully versus Edgar.
Thank you very much. And that was a case where Edgar appointed trustees to the University of Illinois, whereas previously they had always been elected. And it was a case about the right to election that had nothing relevant that I could find to the issues that Mr. Hall has presented. If you read the facts
it's
of the case.
It's extreme that it should be more to keep people on. It's showing that there's more people looking to put people on the ballot than take it off. Even when there's changes, since there's a change in.
Well, yes, and the principle of the case was whether it should be appointed versus elected, the individuals. And so I don't think it sustains. If there
so
was
wait,
a
what was the point of that?
Tully versus Edgar. Edgar appointed the trustees to the University of Illinois, and it was a case that previously they had always been elected.
But this is an election. It has nothing to do with the appointment. Okay. So you're the Wisner versus Brennan, you're stating that the objection was overturned.
The objection was overturned because there was not, and the point is that we absolutely agree about is that the petition, the individual signing, the registered voter signing a petition should know for whom, for what candidacy they are signing. And so Brennan versus Wisner said that the transposition of how they referred to John T. Elsner, but they did refer to vacancy in the 18th Circuit, even though it was stated differently, it was not confusing to any signator to the petition.
Okay. Did you, and you might have in several cases, did you comment on the Corbin versus Schroeder case?
Corbin versus Schroeder stands for the fact, as I reviewed the case, of not relying on oral information for purposes of the election. So as far as Mr. Hall's objection, I would say it would support the fact that a signator should not have to ask for it. I'm not sure.
What I got from it was that relying on incorrect election data to meet the requirement. That's what that one is doing. So it's like incorrect data. There's incorrect data in there. It says Alderman.
Right.
This is illegal. And
it was incorrect data.
Now, besides the case law, I'd like to point out the election code. You know, if you wouldn't mind going to that sheet right there. Like, okay, if we refute that, if you look at 10 ILCS 5, you know, on this page right here, each sheet of the petition, other than a statement of candidacy, it says the name of the candidates and whose behalf such petition is signed, the office. That means the office, and the office name is alderperson. It's not alderman. It's on every sheet. It's all over. There's a Facebook thing where I have the picture where they're congratulating the new alderperson. You could use alderman, but there's going to be people who are offended by that. Like, I'm sorry.
Your point is well made. Thank you. We just have to determine whether, based on information our attorney provides us, we agree at that point or not. Where's the case that we're discussing, the Wisner versus Brennan, or that we're discussing the most substantially?
By the way, John T. Elsner is a personal friend.
Huh?
Your case that you cited, I'm reading it. John T. Elsner is a good friend of mine.
Oh, how cool is that?
Where's the summary, the decision of the case?
Because of the bottom line here is if the nominating papers, because that's citing another case, which is the principle. If the nominating case is really good.
If nominating papers describe only one possible vacancy in that district, then there's no basis for confusion. And that's Pacenti versus County Officers Electoral Board. Here, candidate sufficiently described the office. Did you want to see this at all?
So, the principle on which Mr. Hall states is the candidate designated the office she sought on the headings of her petitions. On 1 through 58, she said, seek resident circuit court judge to fill the vacancy of John T. Elsner. On the other petition, she said, judge of the circuit court to fill the vacancy of John T. Elsner.
So there's only one seat here, correct?
Correct.
So there's one seat up for election in the 4th ward.
Where are his papers?
Of the petition.
It's in the back of the packet.
But yeah, every page does state Alderman Ward 4.
Right. So when you are looking to make certain that there's clarity on the office being sought, Ward 4 is very sufficient in that case because we are having one election for Ward 4. So that is, there's no question on which ward it is. The question is the legitimacy of using aldermen, alderman, alderperson, alderwoman, which if Kathy, I don't know the case, but I know there is an appellate case that went through and discussed the sufficiency of the office being described as a preference when it came to alderman, alderwoman, alderperson, etc. on the forms, so long as there is not
no
confusion of which the preference being gender, which does diverge from the state's mandate, but the preference is there. However, the explicit designation of Ward 4 is clear. I think that is the point that is relevant from the case, is that there is not voter confusion. Could there be other issues that have been brought up, those are not something that I think we are here to determine.
The issue is the signatories, not to confuse the signatories on the petition.
Correct.
That those signing the petition would have a clear understanding
of what
the candidacy, the proposed candidacy.
Were there any other objections as far as numbers of signatures other than they should all be thrown out?
The number of signatures was based on the same using the 2021
okay.
instead of 2023.
And he surpassed the higher threshold.
Correct.
Okay.
So when if we go to point number five, the number of signatures, the wrong election year being used, that was 1 point. That in the prior case that we heard was decided that the 2023 is the correct.
Well, even if it's not, he exceeded both.
He exceeded, yes. So he was within the range of valid signatures.
Either way.
So correct. That point he number five does not
hold water.
If we were to be ruling on this and asking, you know, are we sustaining or overruling, number five would be overruled. I would say we're not taking a vote at the moment. So that would be number five, even with the case points that are there.
Correct.
Now, do we want to go through these point by point? Actually, if we want, let's go with number six real quick. Number six being the challenge against the petition. Personally, I believe that has no bearing on this case because that is a separate case entirely. So that would be an automatic.
It can't. There's no requirement that a person be involved in an electoral race to object to an electoral petition, is there?
Oh, no.
Okay. The only requirement is that they are a elector within the district being sought.
That they meet the qualifications as a resident of Ward 4.
Okay. So,
number six is
six.
And you don't owe money to the city, and you haven't committed a felony.
No. Everything that we have for number one, two, three, and four all fall to the same
point
of the validity of the gender neutral or personal preference of the terminology and voter confusion listed on the petitions.
Kathy, do you have anything else?
No, I have nothing else.
Jordan, do you?
No.
Do either of you? Okay. What's your thoughts?
I wish I had the case in front of me. I didn't do my research to bring it, but I know there is a case that has gone into the personal preference of the listing on it, but the substantial conformance and the voter confusion issue has been decided very clearly. And with the signatures that are here, the fact that this clearly states Ward 4 and it is alderperson, alderman, whichever of the choice, the first part is preferential, the second part is very clear. I cannot believe that the signatures of the petitions had confusion on what they were signing. So it would be my point that I would say that we would overturn or overrule the objection for 1 through 4.
Jory?
I second it.
I would agree. And that it's, we had a similar consideration 2 years ago on whether or not the person signing these petitions would be confused by what they're signing, and I see no way that a person is confused by this at all. The person's run for all the person, whatever you call it. I think it's very clear. So I would agree. I would overrule the objection.
So, in consideration of your findings, I will prepare findings and written decision. But as we stand now, the objection of Sammy Hall to the petitions of Lowell Hyatt have been overruled, and so Mr. Hyatt will remain on the ballot unless overturned by the Circuit Court of Kendall County.
Okay, so, oops, let me get the right agenda out. That's two agendas up.
Public comment?
Public comment, yeah, that's all I guess, same thing. Is there any other public comment? Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We adjourn at 2 o'clock.